Hello, everybody. Jim Malone here, coming to you live on Dallas Trading Floor. It's Tuesday, and it looks like the Bulls are out of the barn. It seems like today we had a really good day, and it looks like things are moving nicely. Mainly it's happening in the Nasdaq, but there's a lot to report on. I definitely have been trying to increase my exposure to the market. Definitely think that it's a good time to take a look at possibly, getting in a little bit more into the market right now, because it does look like, at least for right now, and you never can tell, the market is moving higher. So that's kind of cool. So we are in a confirmed uptrend, and we have what we call a power trend. So the market is a confirmed uptrend, and we're in a power trend. And right now, it's best to be, out of cash into the market. I'm currently about 82% invested. So I have about 82% in the market, and then I have about 18% not in the market looking for a home. But it's looking pretty good. Let's take a look at the stock of the day. That's Shopify. And I think probably a lot of people know this stock, maybe even use their products. Just really interesting. I was in this one a little bit early, and I got stopped out of it. But take a look. Take a look at this stock. I mean, it's really making a nice move. It moved up today. We had this handle. We had a cup, and then we had the handle, and then it broke out from that handle. And so it's looking really good. It's 64.12 in the after hours. So kind of cool. Let me just show you the, if I can get this thing to, yeah, there we go. I've got to take the comments off just so you can see the chart a little bit better. Yeah, there we go. So here we go. With the chart pattern, looking good. We have a 98 relative strength. That means it's in the top 2%. We pulled down, you see, came up with a cup, and then we pulled back here, and then we broke out, and it's been breaking out. It started this breakout on Monday, but then it really got going today, looking really, really good. It's got a 78% checklist. Basically, the two things that it's not, it's failing on is on the earnings per share. It's not up as high as we need it to be. And it's basically relative to the earnings per share. But we definitely have a situation where we had a very, very nice breakout. Now, according to my pattern recognition, the cup with handle breakout is way down here at 49. But really, if we look at the chart carefully, my AI didn't quite pick it up properly. Basically, what we had happening here is we had this cup. We came up to the 49.86 buy point right here. And then we gapped up, and then we came all the way up to 65. Then it pulled back in a handle, and then, as you can see, the volume came in. So looking very, very good. If you look over at the weekly chart, you can see that it's finally making its way back. I mean, in the pandemic, boy, look at that pullback. It went all the way down. And then finally started making some headway. And now I'm getting more and more confident that we're getting to a point where we may be seeing this thing actually move up to where it has been. The line I'm drawing across here is to the what they call the overhead supply lines right there. So a lot of these people bought it over a year ago. They're probably pretty much have sold or washed out. So now, as we start to see it come off the bottom, it's starting to look much, much more bullish. If we go back to the daily chart here, you can see that we had back here, way back here in January, we had a golden cross, which means that the 50-day moved above that 200. That's very bullish. That's sort of when the bullish cycle started, came all the way up to 56, and then it created that cup form. And it wasn't a beautiful cup. Then we came up to the buy point here. It broke out to 65, pulled back. This is the handle, and now it's breaking out of this. So this is a very bullish sign. Shopify, definitely want to take a look at it because I think it's still actionable, even though it's a little bit extended here. I just want to kind of look at how far extended it is over the proper buy point. Let's see if I can get that in there. Look at the technicals. Well, see, it's still, I believe it's still very actionable. Even it's 8% above the 58.47 by 21-day line. So I still think that this stock is actionable. Shopify, it's looking very, very good. And yeah, definitely something that you want to take a look at. Here's my current portfolio. And we're nice day today. Fluence Energy, this is the stock that I talked about on my little video that I put out. Let's see if I can move it over so everyone can see this on TikTok. Fluence Energy, this is the energy storage company. It's a company that is partially owned by Siemens, and then the other partner is AES. And the reason this is a significant company is because what they're doing is they're making storage. It's kind of like the Tesla Powerwall, but for the entire grid. So battery packs, essentially, to store energy from renewable sources when they're not at peak level. So, like, for instance, storing it during the day and then at night for solar energy, allowing it to be moved back onto the grid. Fluence Energy, I just want to show you this chart too. FLNC. Okay, FLNC. This also was a beautiful action today. I started buying this on Friday, basically from the cup. And then there was the handle. As you can see, I have it marked here, this dotted line handle. And then it came up, it broke out, and then it basically got a little bit of resistance at 25, and now it's breaking out to the buy point, 26.78. It's currently 26.87 in after hours, so it's definitely actionable. If you take a look at the volume here, some big volume coming in. This is being acquired by, this is institutional investment that seems to be coming into the market. It is a little bit far away from the 21-day line at 17%, but I'm pretty confident that we are right on the pivot, and that pivot is 26.78. So definitely, you could definitely start a position in this one. I definitely think it's pretty darn good. Now, one of the things, there's a caveat here that I kind of want to talk about a little bit here. We did come through earnings. Their sales have been increasing very nicely. As you can see, they're still pre-revenue. So they're still, they're still not 24 cents a share was their deficit. They have negative cash flow. But the reason I'm confident in this company, more so than a lot of other startups, is that it is basically the main investors in this are two very large, very well-capitalized companies, that being AES and Siemens. So I'm very confident in their ability to wait it out and make and really see this to its fruition, because this is a huge capital expenditure area, but it is definitely an area that is looking really, really good. This one is FLNC. So if you want to take a look at that one, definitely you could buy that right now. I'm also in Google. This one is starting to move up, not as much. Palantir, this is up again today. This has been up like 5 days in a row. PLTR. This one I am trying to build a larger position in, just because I do think that this one also in the software enterprise group has some real legs. Now, here's the problem buying it at this level. If you haven't started buying it, we're a little bit extended above that 21-day line. So we're pretty far above the 21-day line. So I don't know if you could start a new position here, but you definitely could add here. So that's kind of the, you know, from here up to here, it's a little bit of a distance, but as you can see, it's basically been straight up since it moved past the buy point, the $10.31 buy point, basically right back here. Now, again, it's harder to see on this one, but this was sort of a cup with a very, very long handle. And then it broke out of the buy point at 10.31. That's where the breakout was, right there for Palantir. And as you can see, a lot of very strong volume is coming in. Also, we have earnings per share that were up very, very strongly. So this one also definitely is on the list. Sales were up 18% last quarter, but the profits were up 150%. This is a profitable company. So even though it's a speculative company, it is only something to look at potentially for a buy. So those are the ones that I've been really, really watching. Let's see if we can take one or two more and then get to everybody's questions. One I started to buy yesterday is Samsara IoT. That's one also that I think is actionable. And let's take a quick look at that chart. Here we go. This is the Samsara chart. See if we can make that right. I'm going to go over to the daily. There we go. There's the daily chart. This one really has been a rocket ship. I started this one on Friday, basically below that, right below the pivot at 22.58 here. And then it also has been acting very, very well right here. So this has been 22.58 right there. And then it's just, this is the third day. I think it's going to pull back a little bit. I'm going to be setting my stop losses up. Basically, we went there. This was Thursday, Friday, Monday, and then today. So that's sort of how it's moved up. So for quite significant in terms of it starts moving. I definitely think we're going to get a pullback. I'm going to be putting my stop loss up very tight tonight, but it's looking good after hours, 28.29. So it's up in the after hours action too. So this is another one. Now, I probably wouldn't buy it here. I would wait a little bit. I think this is going to pull back a little bit, but the pivot on this one, 22.58. So we're about $6 above that. We're pretty far above that. So we probably couldn't start a position here because it's 32% above the 21-day line. So I would wait for this one to pull back. What I plan to do is, this is where my stop loss is, right here. I'm going to push it up a little bit. I suspect it's going to pull back. Obviously selling out, and it's probably going to come right back down to the buy point. I'm going to try to buy it again there. So that's another one that you might want to take a look at. IoT, and Internet of Things. The name of the company is called Samsara. And that's pretty much it. Also, I've been building a position in Tesla. Tesla is above a very key level. Let's take a look at that one just real quick, and then we'll get to everybody's questions. TSLA, of course, is the symbol for that. I've been waiting for this to happen for quite a while. With Tesla, I haven't really been able to trade it because it's been in a downward trend, but I think that's starting to end as it's moved above the 200-day moving average, and then it has a buy point here at 207. We're above that. We're at 224 in the after hours. It's up $3 in the after hours. So if it can move above this 217, which it definitely has, I think we can move up safely into the 250 area. We're right here, as you can see, we've moved past the pivot, and we're looking to go higher. I think we could see it potentially as high as 310 in a few months because of the resistance based on this chart. We'll see if that indeed happens. But the last high was way back here in September of 2022, so about a year ago. And if we look at the overhead supply, we're getting rid of the overhead supply. So here we go. I'm going to draw the line in here. This is the drawing of overhead supply right there. And if we look, basically, this is a key level. And the reason it's a key level is because this over here, all these people bought it, it went down, and then pretty much I believe they're starting to wash out now. So if we can get above this 225, 230 level, we're likely to see it move as high as potentially 300, 310, and that's for Tesla. So definitely something that you might want to take a look at there. So anyways, let's get into the questions. Thanks, everybody, for taking a look today. Oh, wait a minute. I have to do one more thing. I want to show you five stocks that you want to put on your watch list, and I think that you might be pleased with some of these. And I just pulled these out. Kind of looking at Tesla, FLNC, that's Fluence Energy, that's what I have. ANET, I don't have that one. I'd like to have that one. Dexcom, DXCM, and McKesson. So all of these ones definitely are very watch friendly. So definitely take a look at those. Oh, let me just put those back up here. Tesla, FLNC, ADENT, Dexcom, and McKesson. So all looking pretty darn good. The whole market, at least for the small, at least for the techs, is looking much, much better than it has been in a long time. So let's get to some questions. Thank you for holding on here. All right. Thank you. Thoughts on Tesla? Okay, let's take a look. Let's do some more Tesla dive. Let's do a deep dive on Tesla here. All right. So this is Tesla. And basically what's going on here is with Tesla, again, we're looking at the weekly chart here. What I think is going to happen with Tesla, this is the Tesla weekly chart. As you can see, it came all the way up here to 400. Okay, that was its all-time high, 400. That was back in December of 21, okay? So it came all the way up here. It got resistance. This was the pivot, and it didn't make the pivot, and it pulled back. That was the first pullback. Then it made another attempt at 400, basically right here in early February of 22. Then it's kind of continued its movement down, up, down. This is because no stock really goes up straight or goes down straight. Kind of goes like this. Then we took the big dive. This was, of course, the big dive. We bottomed really right about here. And if we look at the daily chart, we can see where that bottom was. Let's see. The bottom on about 120, and that was back here, basically in January. Beginning of the year, it was not looking good for Tesla. I can't buy this. It's not viable. And I had been stopped out of all my positions. So I was pretty much, I wasn't giving up on Tesla, but I couldn't buy it during that time. So during that time, that was basically a year ago. 101, it basically came all the way down there. And then it came up to the first line of resistance, 217. That was what we just moved through. So you can see we came up to that level. There we go. My drawing is not the greatest, but this was the resistance. This was the original resistance, 217. That's where we broke out. That's where we broke out here. We broke out here today, as you can see. We pulled back with this cup. We came up, then we broke out, but we could only get to 207. Then we went another cup, and then we broke out. And I think this breakout's going to work. And why do I think that breakout's going to work? Well, look at this volume. We have very strong volume in there. This is a logarithmic scale, by the way. So anything above that red line is very high volume. And that's definitely what's come in. There's been heavy buying on Tesla from the institutions, it's looking like. So it's looking pretty good. Could we initiate a position here? I'm a little bit leery to have a new position here because we are 14% above the 21-day line. I think you want to wait. I think it's probably going to pull back a little bit and come higher. But if it got within 10%, I would say that would be a good place. But look at this. We are looking very, very good. After hours, 225. Now, I've been buying Tesla about for the last... I've been buying Tesla for about the last week, a little bit more than a week. And now about half of my portfolio is Tesla. So it's done fairly well. I mean, just in those last few days. So I definitely think that we can possibly buy it here. Let me look at the 60-minute chart to see if there's a place that we could put a limit order in on this one. I think if you're going to do a limit order, the place to do it would be at about 215 or so, maybe 214. I don't know if it'll get down to that level, but if we wanted to start a new position on Tesla, I definitely think we could get another pullback. So it pulls back, bounces, and then I think that, if it doesn't just go straight up, then we may get another pullback to 217. But I would try to buy this on a limit order because I definitely think it's not going to go up straight. It's going to come down, up, and then pull back, and then come back. So I do think that, you could put a limit order in at about 214. Then if you didn't get a fill, start raising it up, and eventually you're going to get a pullback. But I think overall, Tesla has an upward trend. So looking really, really good for Tesla right now. All right. Thank you so much. And let's see. Get over to people on TikTok. Okay. Let's see if I've got anybody I can talk to on TikTok here. Oh, CrowdStrike, Adobe CrowdStrike. Let me take Adobe first, and then CrowdStrike. Thanks for taking a look. By the way, if you want to see the charts better, well, let's look at CrowdStrike first. CRWD. This is the software security company. Now I have another one called Fortinet. Other than CrowdStrike, let's take a look at CrowdStrike first, and then maybe move over to compare them against Fortinet. Those are the ones I'm looking at. Nice after hours, 153, 82 relative strength. That's definitely good. But and we do have right here, and you're definitely right for taking a look at this, Pradesh. We have the beginnings of a golden cross where the 50-day line is looking like it's starting to move above that 200-day line. That's the golden cross. That's what you want to look for as an increasing interest in, usually increasing institutional money is coming in, if you could see that golden cross. So that's really good looking at that. Let's just take a look to see. I want to take a look at the pattern recognition. This is a little AI thing that sometimes it's right, sometimes it isn't. It's very rules driven. Cup with handle 242. So we're way below we're still really below, very much below the last formation. So I'm not as bullish on this one as I am on this other one. Let me show you the comparison between, I'm going to do this since basically the earlier part of the year, since April, since April, 4-1. All right. Okay, FTNT. What I'm doing here is I'm pulling up the comparison between Fortinet and CrowdStrike. All right. So actually, well, you got it right. I mean, it looks as if Fortinet is lagging. It looks like it's lagging CrowdStrike. Let's look at the comparison here really quickly. All right, so this is the comparison between Fortinet, FTNT, and CrowdStrike. These are both in the computer software area. Basically, going back to April, you can see it. They both pretty much started out the same place. Fortinet up 5%, but CrowdStrike's up 11%. So that's looking better. So let's check. I just want to check how Fortinet, if Fortinet is in a better position to buy. Let's take a look. Yeah, here's the reason that I like Fortinet just a little bit better than CrowdStrike. And the reason I do is because even though CrowdStrike is definitely outperforming Fortinet, Fortinet is in a buy zone. And I always like that. The buy point for Fortinet, 69.07. Now you can see it pulled back down to, it came right up. It pushed above it and then it pulled back. But we're now very close to the 21-day line. So if you're looking for a computer software stock, this is probably a better one. Why? Because it's got 100% checklist and it could be bought within 2%, 2.38% of the 21-day line. So that's very bullish. Also, it's in the buy zone right there. So if I was a betting man, and I am, I would be buying Fortinet FTNT. I do have a position in FTNT. I do have a position in it. See, let's go back here. Yeah. I have Fortinet. It's one of the ones that I did buy. It's down a little bit, but just as we saw here just a second ago, yeah, there we go. It came up through the pivot, pulled back to the 21-day line. So it's still really viable. And if I was comparing it between CrowdStrike and Fortinet, I would probably be a Fortinet buyer, but I'm a little bit biased because I own Fortinet. So that's why I'm saying, but thanks very, very much for that. Let's take a look at the next question. Google and Amazon. Okay, great, great question. Now, I don't have a position in Amazon, but I do have a position in Google. So let's look at Google. Now, I'm trading GOOG. Now, there's also GOOGL. And it just, this is the Class C shares, the common shares, the voting shares. And then there's the Class A shares of Google. So there's two classes of stock. There's one company, Alphabet, two classes of stock, the C's and the A's. I'm trading the C's. They basically trade the same. And we're just really just going right up the 10-day line. We came up, we made it, we got a little bit of resistance right there at about at about 126. We came down. Notice how this is sort of a mini cup. The interesting thing, if you start to look at charts a lot, you will see what they call fractals. You'll see like little representations of bigger patterns. There'll be a big pattern, and then there'll be a duplicate pattern. It's called a fractal, and that's what this is. This is a little mini cup. As you can see, it came right up to here, and we're at 267. Off a little bit in the after hours, but if it can punch through this, it should move higher into 130. Now, this is a little bit slower moving stock. Why? Because, well, it's big. That's part of the reason. But we did have this gap up here. Basically, about 2 weeks ago, we had this gap up. And so it's looking pretty good. I mean, I'm still have a pretty large position in this. Another thing, if we look at the weekly chart here, you'll notice this is the line of overhead supply. So if we draw a line across here to the level that it's at, you can see that almost all the overhead supply has been taken out. The price, we basically want to look at the higher high for the in the last 18 months with the emphasis on the last year. And definitely in the last 18 months, the higher high, of course, has been higher. It's been about 150, but it hasn't been at that level for quite a while, for you know, probably more than about 15 months. It hasn't been that high. So most of the people that bought it up here have taken losses and they've cleared out this overhead supply. Oops. If people buy it higher, then they hold on to it and they refuse to take their losses. Usually sometimes they'll wait a year, take a long-term loss, and then they'll sell. That's what they call overhead supply. But we've pretty much run through most of the overhead supply, so that's looking pretty good. Now, one of the concerns that I do have, of course, is that, yes, we do have increasing increasing sales, but their profits year quarter over quarter were down last quarter, Google was. So that's one thing to look at. So even though it's recovering very nicely, I'd still like to see a blue number there and not a red number, just because I think quarter over quarter growth is so important. So that's looking at Alphabet. Let's look at Amazon. Now, I'm not in Amazon. I wish I had more capital. I would be, because it's looking pretty good. I like Amazon right now better than Google, and here's why. If you'll notice, the sales are up, but also the profits are up. They're coming off of a losing streak in the quarter over quarter profits. Their profits are up, so that's looking very, very good. So I think out of the two, I think that probably Amazon right now is looking better. But I want to compare them both really over the last, say, year. So Amazon versus Google. And I'm going to use the Class C shares here. I might be wrong on that. And then I'm going to do it since April. All right. Well, they're almost exactly the same. Isn't that interesting? Okay, I'm going to show you the chart on the comparison between between Google and Amazon. Get that up here really quick. There we go. All right. So here we go. This is as of April 1. We're seeing Amazon basically move at the same rate that Google is. So basically, in the last since 4-1, since 4-1, we're looking at Amazon being pretty much equal to Google right there. So pretty amazing. But out of the two right now, I think that your better buy after I've done this, I'm looking and saying, well, maybe I should switch back in to Google, out of Google into Amazon. So definitely like your, definitely like the fact that you're looking at Amazon. So right now, I think Amazon is the better of the two. They're both good, but I think Amazon is better too. Now I have Google. I probably should sell it and trade it out for Amazon because it does look like Amazon is gonna performing better. Also, want to take a quick look at the Amazon chart. Unfortunately, there's no real buy point on Amazon right now. That's the problem. It's part of the reason I chose Google was because there was a clear buy point that I was going off of. But let's look at Amazon here. Yeah, there we go. This is Amazon, and this is also your a golden cross right there. So that's very bullish. We've got a 91 relative strength. That's great. So it's in the top 9% of stocks. They had great earnings. And so this looks very powerful. This looks like a powerful move. I want to see how far from the 21-day line it is. Well, it's a little extended, 8.04, but you could still start a new position here. You could still start a new position here, but probably best to wait for it to pull back maybe to about 120. I'd put a limit order. I wouldn't buy it in a market. I'd buy it on a limit order, but that's definitely viable and just looking really, really good. Good checklist, 78%, and the technicals. So it's, you know, it's looking really good. Actually, Amazon is looking very nice. Thank you for that, Ken, Sandy. Let's take a look at Costco, too, just for everybody here. You know, interestingly enough, Home Depot is reporting that they're going to be, you know, they're going to be struggling this year. So I don't know. I think Amazon may be the winner in the retail space. This is kind of flat. We're in a consolidation here, as you can see. We're in a consolidation, but we're sort of sideways on it. Let me just take a look at the weekly chart to see if there's anything. Yeah, unfortunately, this is sort of a downward trend. Yeah, this is a downward trend. Now, we may be breaking out of this downward trend, but this trend is definitely downwards right now. So would I be buying this? Well, if we analyze this very quickly, this is the S&P 500 here, and this is the this is the relative strength here. The relative strength is going down against the S&P 500. So unfortunately, Costco is losing strength against the S&P 500. Let's compare both of these retailers, Amazon and Costco, really quickly to see if we can do anything there. So I'm going to put cost in there, and I'm going to put Amazon, and I'm going to just look kind of really at the last quarter only. I'm going to look from basically 4/1/2023. I'm going to look that kind of there, and let's see if I can get that to move. There we go. So if we're looking at both of these, I think you're going to see that Amazon is the better of the two to be in, I think, in the retail space. So let me do that real quick. There we go. So I'm just going to compare both of these stocks since April, and that is Amazon and Costco. So let's take a look there real quick. Here we go. Okay. If we started basically back at April 1, we would have been about up 5% on Costco, but we would have been up almost 23% on Amazon. So Amazon is clearly the better of the two in the retail space right now. That's just the way it is. So what I would do is go for Amazon if I was looking to go in the retail space. I just think that brick and mortar is going to continue to have difficulties. It's going to continue to have difficulties, unfortunately. So what I would do is if I was looking to add to a retail position, I would probably be selling my Costco and I would be buying Amazon. So that's kind of my take on it. But great question. Thank you so much for that. All right. Has KRE's morning rally created a true upward trend? That's interesting. Now, for everybody out there that doesn't know this, I'm going to take a little sip of water here. The KRE is a ETF, an exchange-traded fund that covers the regional banks. And this is a kind of a, you know, if you want to look at the mid-side banks, not the big money center banks like the JP Morgans of the world, more like the Zions National and Comerica type banks is the KRE. So let's look at the KRE. It's a and let's see if we can get that get that up. KRE. There we go. And this is the regional banking ETF. So this is the KRE, and get over here for people on TikTok so that they can see it. All right, what's happened here, of course, is we know we had this huge pullback. It was just going along, and then boom, back here in March, just, you know, this is really when, you know, when the interest rates really took a hit. The problem with the regional banks are they invest in these U.S. Treasury bonds, and the problem is, many of these bonds that they bought and were holding were in the 2% range. But unfortunately, with the interest rates going up, the value of those bonds went down. That's what caused Silicon Valley Bank to crater. So it was a problem for the regional banks, the banks that aren't really the money center banks, but the ones underneath that. That's kind of when the KRE really took a dive. It pulled back, and now it's sort of struggling to get back here. But this is still not healthy because the drop really was, you know, was significant. It went from basically, you know, 60 here all the way down to about 45. So that's a tremendous amount of, that's a 25% drop from right here to there. It's a 25% drop. So that's a lot. So even though it's improving a little bit, I don't still think they're out of the woods. So I'm really very bearish on the regional bank, on regional banks right now, just because of this. I just don't think they're that strong, and I still think they're going to be, you know, very affected by, you know, by these interest rates. And I don't know if, you know, I don't know. We may get another interest rate hike. I mean, the inflation is running, and, you know, I think they're just going to have to do it they're going to have to raise the rates to get people to buy those bonds. So I don't think we've seen the last of the interest rates thing. So I don't think this is an upward trend. I think this is a continuation of a downward trend. That's my guess. It came down, it bounced up, and then, you know, but see, I still think that the trend is down. I think it's like this, bounce up, this, bounce up. So I'm just expecting it to move lower. So I don't think it's reversed its trend. And I can definitely tell that by drawing a reversal line. Yeah, and it really just hasn't, I don't think it's really reversed its trend lower. So that's just my two cents on it. But I expect the regional banks to go lower, unfortunately. That's kind of what I'm seeing on the regional banks, unfortunately. I wish I wasn't, but that's what I'm seeing. All right. Thank you, Lisa, so much. Let's look at NVIDIA, NVDA. I was trying to make room to buy this today. I have a limit order on this one. I didn't buy it. I didn't want to buy it at market. I have a limit order, and I'll show you where my limit order is on this one. As everybody probably, if you've been watching the market, you'll know that basically we had this. You know, a few days ago, basically last week, NVIDIA, after its earning call, it basically gapped up. We had this, you know, gap up basically from about 310 all the way up to almost 400, and then we went through 400. For NVIDIA, 400 is resistance. So as you can see, it came up, it pierced through 400, pulled back, came back up to 400 again, tested, and then pulled back. So here's what I'm trying to do. I still want to get some NVIDIA, but I think it's going to pull back. I have my limit order in right here, which is basically the 10-day line. So my buy order is in here at the 10-day line at about 373.50. That's where I have it. Actually, it's 370.02, but 373.50 is where I have my limit order in to buy to buy some NVIDIA. But I don't want to, I think it's going to pull back a little bit till it gets to about the 10-day line. That's what I'm, what I think. I don't think it's going to pull down to the 21-day line based on the fact that we had this gap. I think it's going to pull to the 10-day line and it's going to reverse higher. But if you'll notice, we have on the volume, there's been, you know, selling has gone down each day. So I think we might get one more red day here, maybe two, and then we're probably going to go up. So that's kind of my take on it. I really like NVIDIA, but I wouldn't buy it at market right now. I'd wait for the pullback, wait till it got to the 10-day line. Currently, I have a limit order in on my own account at the 10-day line, which is 373.02. So that's kind of where I've been looking at coming into NVIDIA. So thank you for that very much. All right. Let's look here. Okay. GTLB. Let's take a look at GTLB. I know we're going through a lot of, there's a lot of action right now. It's funny. That's the way the market is. When it pops, it really pops. And we're definitely in a power trend because there's so many good setups right now. And there's so much good stuff to look at. This is a gap up on GitLab here. And it gapped above the 200-day moving average. That's significant. Here's the issue, though, I have on it right now. I still think we're going to get a pullback. So let's draw the reversal line. That's the reversal line. As you can see, that's when, and I'm going to see if I can set the alert on the line. All right, so I'm going to set the alert on the line. This is the reversal line. Okay, so it just went from a downward trend to an upward trend. Now, it has to be able to hold above this 200-day line. But look at that. We have some serious volume coming in here. Again, this is a logarithmic scale. And you'll notice if it's above that red, that little bit of red squiggly line there, that's the average. But remember, it's because it's logarithmic, anything above that is significant. So it's very significant. We have increasing volume coming in. That's what caused it to gap up here. And it does look good, but I wouldn't buy it here. You know, on the gap ups, here's what I do when I see a gap up like that. Here, my usual strategy on that is to, when I see the gap up, I'll buy it on the gap up and then I'll push my stop loss up. When it pulls back, I'm sold out. But I definitely think this is going to pull back, and that would be absolutely normal on this. So here's what I do. I wouldn't buy at these levels. I would wait to see if we could buy it at a lower on a limit order. Let's take a look. I would set my limit order right there at about 42.50. Right there. That's where I would have my limit order. But if I wanted to buy that, I would buy that at 42.50. Let's see if we get a pullback, a test, this level, 42.50. That's where I would have my limit order if I was going to get in on this. And I do like GitLab. I think it's a, you know, I think it's a good technology. I think there's a lot of good action on it. So, but I wouldn't buy it at market. Hank, sorry. I'm kind of getting dry mouth here. All right. Next support line for, thank you, Mo. EL. Let's take a look at the next support. Right. And this is Ralph Lauren. No, that's the wrong. That's the wrong one. Sorry about that. EL, not RL. A little bit of, there we go. There we go. Where's ST Lauder's next support? Okay. We had a gap down. This is another thing. We're in retail stocks. This has been kind of unfortunate, but yeah, we had this gap down on earnings. Yeah. We had poor earnings. That's what did it. I'm just trying to look here. Yeah. We had a decrease of 12% in sales, and we had a decrease, and this is the key, 75% quarter-over-quarter profits. So we have declining profits on it. When are we going to get support? Here's the thing. If you're down, if you've been holding it since you were at about 250, I would consider selling at least half your position. Why? Because we have entered a downward trend, and if we draw the reversal line, I'm doing that right now, you'll notice that we're below that reversal line. I think it's going to go lower, unfortunately. Let me see where I think the support is. Yeah, boy, I haven't seen. I have to go to the monthly chart to see support. Yeah, well, we broke below support, unfortunately. Support was about 190. So I think the next support level, I need to tell you this, but I think the next support level is about 150. That would be my guess, is where this next support level is about 150. So I think this could go. So I would, you know, if you have high conviction in it, I would go for it. But if not, I just think it's time, you know, and this is always the hardest part. I think you need to consider possibly, there we go. I think you need to consider basically, you know, parting company. Don't ride this one down. Don't ride this one down. It's just not worth it. So here's what I say. I think that, you know, the next support level for Estee Lauder is basically about 150. That's what I'm seeing on the chart. So not a place that you want to be. Not a place that you want to be. So my rule, of course, is that anytime I get a stock that moves against me more than 7%, typically, you know, that it closes more than 7% of me in a few days, I will sell it, because it's been my experience that it will go lower. It will go lower. So I would be very careful. But I definitely think the support level on Estee Lauder is about, it's about 150. So that's kind of what I'm seeing on it. I'm seeing it about 150 support on that. So not, I wish I had better news for you. I wish I had better news for you. About 150, I would say. All right, let's take it. Oh, Nike. By the way, Skechers is breaking out. That's looking good too, SKX. But let's look at Nike first, NKE. And of course, Nike is a Dow stock. So that in and of itself is interesting. The Dow's been moving lower, whereas the NASDAQ's been moving higher. And Skechers seems to be doing pretty well. Nike, though, unfortunately, it's below that 200-day line. Not something I'm liking to see here. This is kind of a problem. You know, we were coming down, but we definitely have a downward trend here, and it does look like, you know, the 21-day line is moving below the 200-day line. So that's a warning sign, but the 50-day is still above the 200. So we, you know, but I think the air is coming out of the tire in this one. It's up a little bit after hours, but Nike. I want to compare this with Skechers and see SKX. It's Skechers. Yeah, there's Skechers. Okay, and I want to do it since. Okay, unfortunately, this is super hard to see. I don't know why. I can't figure out why this does this, but I'm gonna do the comparison chart here. And there we go. And unfortunately, this is super hard to see, so it doesn't, you know, it's not that obvious. But there's Nike. As you can see, it's been going down since. And that's Skechers right there. You can't see it because it's got a terrible, it's in yellow. It's in terrible, but this is since April 1st. Nike is down almost, a little over 13%. Skechers is up. So I think of these two, I think your better bet is Skechers. Let's look at SKX. I just want to look at this chart. If you want to be in shoes, I think you want to be in Skechers, because I do think it's a better chart. Let's just take a look at it. There we go. So this is the chart of Skechers. As you can see, we moved above the buy point, the $49 buy point. It came up. Got a little resistance at 54.77, pulled back to the 21-day line, and now it's up again. So this is the chart of Skechers. You'll notice it's an upward trend. Now, if we look at Nike, NKE, this is in the same group. You notice this is not nearly as good a chart. You notice that's coming down. So basically, this is the tale of two charts. With Nike, I think you want to sell it. It's below the 200-day line. If you want to remain in shoes, I think it's Skechers is going to be the best one. the relative strength of Nike 34, and let's compare Skechers SKX. And there you go, 92 relative strength. So Skechers is much, much more powerful right now than Nike. So, excuse me. So I think if you want to be in shoes, that's probably the place to be, is in Skechers. Let's look at Adobe for, can't see this on TikTok. Let's look at Adobe really quickly. I know I've gone through a lot of charts. ADBE, Adobe. There we go. Boy, Adobe's looking good. Good call there. So let's look at the Adobe chart. It looks as if we had a golden cross back there. That's excellent. That's March, about March, first week of March. So we moved above the 50 day moved above the 200 day line. So that's really good. It came up to this 386, pulled back 383, and then it pulled back, and then it made its run all the way up here. So this is a consolidation. That's what they call this pattern. It's a consolidation. And let's see if, I just want to take a look at the pattern rec. It's 4% above on a cup base. It's 4% above. Oh, it's 4% to the pivot. Okay, this is even better. Yeah, so this is a good pattern. This is a real long cup. So, oh yeah, I see. There we go, all the way down there. And then this is the pivot way up here. Let's see if I can go to the weekly chart to see. Yeah, okay. So there's the pivot right there. Interesting. This is the cup, and it's come right up to the pivot, and it looks like it's over the pivot in the after hours. So it's 4% from the cup pivot, 451. So, by the way, this is canceling trading. You always want to try to buy something as it's moving to a higher high, at least intermediately, and that's definitely the case. It made its higher high. It made its high, last high back here in June. It created a base here with a cup, and then it came almost up to the buy point right there. So this is a good place to buy it. 89 relative strength, looking very strong. You could start a position here, absolutely. Let's look at the technicals. I'm going to go back to the daily chart to look, sort of see what that is. Yeah. Definitely you could start a position here. Let's see how far above the 21-day line it is. It's a little bit extended, but still not bad, within 10%. So, yeah, you could start a position here if you were to buy right here. And if you want to move into the position in Adobe, you know, make your 50% buy there. If it continues up and moves through the pivot, buy another 25%, and if it moves into the buy zone, buy another 25%. So that's kind of how you could get into the position. But yeah, this is looking very, very good, and I definitely think you could do that. So excellent. Thanks for that question. The VIX, can we buy at this level? This is okay. Let's look at the VIX. Now, to buy the VIX, let's see. Let me look at the index here for this one. I think it's 0 VIX. Oh, why can't I get these right? Okay. Let's see if I can get that VIX. Okay, so let's look at the ProShares VIXM. This is going to be the ProShares. Standard Force VIX or midterm. Okay. Can we buy the VIX here at this level? You know what? I'd be a little bit worried about this. I think volatility has been moving lower. That's what it's looking like to me here. You know, we've had higher volatility. Let's see. Yeah, volatility has been moving lower. Don't think that this, you know, if you bought an inverse VIX, I'm just trying to see. Let's see if we have another option here. Let's look at this. From what I'm seeing, the VIX would not be the thing to buy right now, just because it is, you know, the volatility is actually going down. So it's VIXM. Let's see if I can get another one. Let's look at this one. This is the Is this the, yeah, okay, so this is the standard. Okay, so this is a VIX. Yeah, this is a downward trend. I don't think we want to buy it. We want to see a reversal before we buy. You never want to buy something out of trend. Right now, the trend is lower. So I probably would not buy it here. I would wait for a turn to the upside. So I would not be buying at this level. I would not be buying. So I'm not a good bottom fisher, by the way. I typically am a trend trader. I'm always waiting for a trend. I don't like to buy in a downward trend. Some people are really good at it. They can buy at low levels. I mean, the relative strength is only 4. So that means, you know, it's saying that it's probably due for a change. But, you know, I'm never really good at doing that. But I wouldn't buy it. I would wait until we're in an upward trend on the VIX before buying the VIX. All right. My entry level for Microsoft, MSFT. And of course, this is one of the largest. This is one of the trillion-dollar stocks. Now, here's the thing on the S&P, on the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is up, but it's being masked by the fact that several very large stocks that are making up a lot of it. Microsoft is definitely one of them. And let's take a look to see where there would be a good entry point on Microsoft. Basically, our last buy point for Microsoft was 276 right here. Basically, and it was I guess this was consolidation. Let me see if this what it says here. No, it's flat base. Okay, flat base. That makes sense. So we're really up from that, which is good. The problem is, I don't think Microsoft is going to give us a chance to get back in. So we have to buy it within 5% of that 21-day line. That's typically the best way to go here. Let's see where that would be. Okay, so we're 3% above the 21-day line. We could buy it here, actually. I would probably wait for a pullback, though. I'd wait for a pullback to the 10-day line. So here's what I would do. I would set a limit order. If I wanted to buy Microsoft, a limit order at 328. That's about where I would go. About 328, that's where I'd buy it. Right at this pink line there. Yeah, there you go. See how it comes down and then it touches the pink line and then it moves back up and it pulls back. It touches almost. This is going to pull back down, and it's going to touch it. So we want to set a limit order probably for about 328. That's probably where we want to be for this one. But thanks for that. It's a good question on Microsoft. All right, let's look at the stop loss for Tesla. Another good question because I'm going to be setting my stop losses tonight. So I'm doing this is helping me. I'm doing my homework. TSLA. Come on. TSLA, Tesla. There we go. All right. So here we go on the stop loss. Where would I put it? I would probably look, when I'm setting stop losses, I'll usually go to a 60-minute chart, and I'll look to see kind of where there's resistance. I would probably be putting my stop, I think at least in the short term, probably here at about 213. That's probably where I'd be putting my stop right now. Yeah, okay, so 2 cents. I'd probably be putting it right at the bottom of where it was today. So, you know, 230, actually you could put it down, you could put it at 207. Now, here's the thing on the stop like this. I probably would look at my average cost here on this one, and I would, you know, where my average cost was basically right above 207. If my average cost was about 207, that's probably where I put my average. But I wouldn't sell my whole position. I'd only sell half of it. So that's what I would do. But I think that, you know, if you want a really tight stop loss, that's going to be about 212. And if you want another stop loss that's probably more conservative, I would go down here probably to as low as maybe 198. That's kind of where I would go. Also, you'll notice that we're starting to see potential golden cross here with the 50-day line starting to move up, and it crosses the 200-day line. That's a very bullish sign for Tesla. Tesla has been doing very, very well. And part of the reason it has is we look at the weekly chart, you'll notice that this is the line of overhead supply. It's right there. And if we draw the line where it is now, this was the problem for a long time with Tesla, was that so many people bought it earlier and above this, the number that it's at now, the 225 number, that they had to kind of, these people had to sell and take a loss before it could move higher. So the fact that we're at 225, this is bullish because if we move above basically this right here, if we move above, let's see, we track the price here, and I'm going to say right about there. Yeah, if we move above about 235, which is about $10, you know, then there's no more resistance. Well, there's some resistance, and I think it'll go up. So I definitely very, if we can get another few days of it moving higher above 225, then I think, you know, we could really see some stuff. So if it gets really above here, that's where I think if we can hold above there, then we're going to go higher. I think we can go as high potentially as 317 on this run. So that's what I'm trying to prepare for. I've been about half my portfolio right now is in Tesla, so pretty good. All right. Last question. Let's look at Coinbase. You probably saw the news on that, but they're going to get sued, as people are saying that they're a broker and they're not registered. So I think it's going to be difficult for Coinbase, C-O-I-N. So let's look at the chart. Let's see if it's how it's reflected. Oops. Okay, there we go, Coinbase. All right. So let's look at Coinbase. There we go. Yeah, see, this was the news. This is the news from the SEC right here. This is what caused the gap down. And you know what? I think Coinbase maybe is short. Now, it's moved up to 52 here. But if it gets back up to the – let's. I'm going to take a look here. If it gets back up to the 50-day line, that's where I would short it, to be honest. Okay, if we get a rally up to about $60, that's the 50-day line. That's where it's going to reverse lower. So I think Coinbase is going to go lower. Right now, it's after hours 52, but I think it's going to rally up to the 50-day line. I'd short it at the 50-day line because that's what it's looking like. This is looking like a short. So that's my take on it. I wouldn't buy this long. I would buy the short. Now, would I short this? Well, we're in the market. We're in an upward trending market, so I probably would not short it just because we're in an upward trending market. I don't like to short an upward trending market. Well, thanks, everybody. Thank you so much for taking a look at the show. So appreciate everybody tuning in. I'm trying to get better technically, so please bear with me with my technical problems and issues. So I'm getting better, but I'm still not there yet. Also, I just have a favor to ask everybody, please, 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 if you could like the show, that would be really helpful for us. So smash the like button. It really, really helps us. Also, if you're not already a member of the Action Trailer, it's super duper easy. I'm changing around some of the stuff on my website. I'm going to probably be doing that after we get off here. But if you could jump on over and register on www.dallastradingfloor. That would be great. And also, of course, so that would really, 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 really work well for me and for everybody else, because I'm going to try to put out, now that we're sort of in a phase where we have a little bit of a bull run here, there's going to be some opportunities, and I just want to make sure that we take advantage of some of them. So if you get onto the Action Trailer, it's by going to www.dallastradingfloor.com. And registering, then I can send out some information via email, and it's all free. I mean, I do have some paid things, but it's all free. And but that's a good way to get ready for the next run up. I definitely think we're going to have a move up. You know, who knows how long that's going to last? But I'll be back tomorrow at 5 o'clock with the more Dallas Trading Floor. And thank you so much for tuning in. And I will see you soon. Hopefully, you'll be back tomorrow. And I will be back here at tomorrow. Please like the show. And also, if you could subscribe on YouTube, that would really help me too. So YouTube and, you know, if you're on TikTok or Facebook, but if you could subscribe on YouTube, that would really, really help. And I'll be seeing you back here tomorrow at 5. Happy trading.